You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagorovic, Vic Carucci here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, obviously. Talking about the story of the day, Rob Chudzinski out as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns after one season. And we wanted to hear from you. We wanted to hear what you feel about this decision. 216-578-0850. Gerard Cherry still joining us later in the show, as he does every single day on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to John in Akron now. John, welcome to CBD. What's up, John?
All right.
We'll try Tim on his cell phone. What's up, Tim?
Well, first thing, we got the young players you were saying, but Lovie Smith. What about Lovie Smith? Nobody's putting his name out there.
No, it's out there. I wouldn't say nobody's putting his name out there. I've heard his name.
Well, I'm not really. Yeah,
he's going to be on the usual he's going to be on the usual suspect list, if you will, with Ken Wisenhunt, with names like that are guys who have been head coaches. Josh
right.
McDaniels, again, been a head coach. Those are the sorts of names that I think are going to be at least mentioned in the media. Whether or not the Browns have specific interest in these guys, we'll see. Nate, go ahead.
What I wanted to say also, I mean, you were mentioning, you heard on the wire or whatever about the defensive coach from Seattle.
Yeah.
These are younger guys. They don't even know who the defensive coach from Seattle, but they do know the names like you just rattled off. You know,
right.
That's what we need. We need somebody they know, they recognize, and they will respect, like you were saying.
Well, I would say name and years definitely give you something coming in the door, but it's how you handle yourself. A new head coach with his personality, with his intelligence, with general ability to lead, even if he doesn't have a name, he has a way of how to handle people, or he doesn't. You've got to figure that out in the interview process. Somewhere along the line, part of what they got wrong here is that they concluded in interviewing Rob Chudzinski that he had that ability to lead men. He did not, in their eye, prove to be a leader of men, and the failings that Nathan has has broken down statistically, and that we can look at and just see with our own eyes without even having to recite numbers, tells us that was a person who didn't connect, because the players ultimately didn't consistently do their part and respond to whatever it was he was holding them accountable to or not each week, each day. So. What else have we got on the whatever?
Don in Ashland, welcome to CBD.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right.
Hey, my take on this is, as a fan, I want winning just as much as the next guy, but I want winning for a long period of time, and I appreciate the fact that they noticed they made a mistake, they fixed it as soon as possible. Joe Banner, he did have Andy Reid for a long, long time in Philly, and that produced a lot of winning seasons there and a winning culture there. And I think if you look across the league, and I'm glad we're not him hauling around with a coach that can't get it done. You look at, Detroit and Dallas. Those are the two teams that I always tell everybody about that I talk about around here. You can put all the talent on the field,
sure,
but if you don't have the right coach, you're not getting anywhere. And Detroit is a prime example of that. I mean, they have a heck of a team, but a coach that just can't get it done.
And it's an interesting thing how fickle it is and how much it really is linked to, what a coach can get out of his players. Because if you were to look at the Patriots preseason roster, say who are the 10 best players on their preseason roster, they played last week without 8 of them, and yet Bill Belichick continues to find a way to get the job done in emphatic fashion. And there's something to be said for that, for the system, for getting people to buy into your system, to be able to lead, to be able to motivate, to be able to overcome the obstacles that are going to hit every single NFL franchise. Every team is going to deal with some kind of injuries. Look at the Green Bay Packers. They just played 7 games without Aaron Rodgers, and they're going to the playoffs.
Right. Now, fortunately for them, Aaron showed up for that last game that they needed to win.
How about that 4th and 8 play?
Yeah, to stay alive as they did, that was incredible, that 4th and 8 play. I'm still wondering how the heck that happened. Jeff in Findlay is with us now. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Kind of crazy day, huh?
Indeed, to say the least.
Here's my take on the whole thing. I'm fine if we're getting rid of Chud in the name of being a winner, but I do think the deck was a little stacked against the guy. We had no running game to close people out. We do have these Pro Bowl players. Here's the question I'm going to have about Banner and Lombardi, though. Going forward, we got two Pro Bowl guys. that are young, that are due with contracts expiring. If we fire a guy out of, you know, wanting to win, it's going to be a pretty hard sell to me if we can't keep our own guys that are first and second round guys. And everybody always talks about, hey, they weren't their guys. Well, if a guy gets drafted in the first or second round, he must have had pretty good talent to begin with. And if we've kept him for 3, 4, 5 years, and he's a Pro Bowl player, if Banner and Lombardi let those guys go, it's a pretty hard sell to me to cut a guy when he's kind of had the stacked against him, no quarterbacks. I mean, if Hoyer plays, we're probably, really honestly, we're probably not having this conversation today, because I think that everybody in the locker room loved the guy and thought he could get the job done. Tony mentioned that today on 850. So the real sell for me is going to be, that's fine, you broom this guy out of, hey, we need to see more, we got to win. Doesn't matter who we got on our team, these other teams are winning. But if we let good homegrown talent walk away.
You're talking about Alex Mack and TJ Ward specifically?
Alex Mack, yes.
Yeah, and I think that there's going to be, I think that'll be very interesting to see. And I think you make a very valid point. If those guys are not here, I think it would be certainly behoove the Cleveland Browns to keep Alex Mack and TJ Ward as a part of this core. And I do know that they are viewed as part of the core of this team.
Because it makes that list that we keep talking about, this off-season list, just get that much longer. I mean, when you think about it, it's, you know, we've got quarterback on this list. We've got wide receiver on this list. We've got offensive lineman not named Alex Mack on this list, and keep going on. You inside linebacker, probably an outside rusher of another kind to add to the mix. And you keep going down, and it's, oh, yeah, a head coach. And now you're going to throw in a center, possibly in a strong safety, too. We'll see how this all works out. I mean, hopefully it can happen. But when you get to the point where guys play out their contracts, season's over, these guys are becoming free agents, that's usually not the time to start negotiating. That's usually the time when these things are wrapped up or near wrapped up. And I don't know. I just don't know how those thing how it will fall with either of these players. And if that adds to the list, then the challenge for this new coach is that much harder. Todd in North Canton was with us now. Hello, Todd.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just wondering, with Joe Thomas coming out and saying that great franchises don't fire coaches after a year, and it resets the whole organization. And I feel like him, as a 7-time Pro Bowler, the only one other than Jim Brown, he comes out, he seemed like a good man, a quiet, humble man. And this is an institutional problem, a cultural problem. What good young coach would want to come into this situation? I mean, what good young free agent would want to come into this situation? Hell, Alex Mack, TJ Ward, why would they want to come back? If I was them, I'd want to leave the situation. I mean, they need structure, and this organization just refuses to understand that.
Is it an absence of structure, or are what you're saying is guys really liked this guy? Because it's not about like, all right? It's about respect, and it's not a popularity deal. If you're liked too much, sometimes, I'm not saying that is specifically the case here with Rob Chudzinski, and I'm not saying Joe Thomas necessarily is articulating this, but there's history that shows us in the league where players, where you've seen situations where players like their coach. He was a, quote, player's coach. Players really like playing for him. Sometimes they like that guy because that guy doesn't necessarily challenge or push them far as someone who is not necessarily popular, who's kind of the jerk most of the time, to use the...
Well, I understand what you're saying, but
okay.
I hear around the league that everybody thinks Joe Carroll, or the head coach of the Seahawks, is a really likable guy, and look what he's doing over there.
And he also had a very short stint in the NFL, if you remember his first opportunity.
Yeah, he coached for two NFL teams before he got that job. Pete is a high-energy, positive reinforcer. He wrote a whole book on the whole positive reinforcement element when he was at USC. And I know Pete well. I know Pete from the time he got his first NFL job as a defensive backs coach in the early 80s with the Buffalo Bills. And we've been friends ever since. And I know his style. And he's a different kind of cat. There really isn't somebody quite like him. But he does challenge. There's like a pace at which he keeps things going. And remember, that team is so talented. I mean, they've got a lot of good football players. They've done an excellent job in their front office. And John Schneider, who's now in charge as general manager, and Pete are almost hand in glove. I mean, they work so well together. So that there are some different elements to that. When you're dealing with a young team that's building from scratch, it needs a different hand and somebody who's just I would say that the next coach of the Browns wouldn't shock me if he is a sterner, different personality than Rob Chudzinski was. I mean, he was just a more forceful, you know, domineering kind of personality. All right, we have got coming up for us is Gerard Cherry. We've got to get his thoughts. He's going to weigh in with us next, as he regularly does.
Things that, to me, at the end of the day, the whole thing is sad. It means that the Browns didn't do as well as anybody wanted to. This is sad for Rob Chudzinski, who's a great guy.
His family. Assistant coaches.
This is a very tough situation. And it's not popular, and it's not easy. And the only thing that will cure the way that everybody feels today, regardless, is if this organization turns it around and starts winning. That's the only answer.
And we won't know that for a while.
And that's what's tough. This is very tough.